Shalom, and welcome to Tehillim Yom. Today we learn Psalm 63, Samach Gimel. The desert is a lonely place. It is void of community, of noise, of distractions, and technology. Thousands of years ago, it was truly a place of desolateness and solitary existence. A perfect place for the poet to pour out his heart to God, certainly if that individual was on the run, hiding from danger. In this context, we begin Psalm 63. Mizmor David bioto b'midbar Yudah, when David was in the wilderness of Judah. Elohim Eli ata ashachareka. Saman lacha nafshi, kamalacha besari be'eres tzia v'ayif v'limayim. God, you are my God, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Kein b'kodesh chiziticha lirot uzecha uchvodecha. To see your power and your glory as I've seen you in the sanctuary. Ki tov chasecha mechayim svatai yishabchenucha. Because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Kein avarachecha b'chayai b'shimcha asa kapi kmo chere v'desher tispa nashi v'sivtei renanot yalelpi. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise with joyful lips. David spent several years in the wilderness on the run. He was constantly concerned with his next step, gathering an army of vagrants and outcasts. And we might conclude that he was void of spirit, of religion. Perhaps these psalms are there to remind us of the remarkable nature of David as one who was able to infuse his desert existence with godliness. Verse 2 is so powerful that many religious songs have been penned to these words, Samalacha Nafshi. The English translation at the beginning does not do justice to the beautiful poetry, Eli Ata Ashachareka. You are my God, I will dawn you, Shachar, dawn. He took the word Shachar, which means dawn, and turned it into a verb describing his relationship with God. Then he turns it up a notch. Tzama lacha nafshi, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in the desolate land without water. This impassioned call to God and burning desire to be close to him is not one we often encounter with Davidic psalms. But once again, it's perhaps the desert which impels him. Radak understood verse 3, the word ken and chaziticha, to be parallel to verse 2, saying, just as my soul thirsted for you in the wilderness, so too I desire to see you in the sanctuary, your strength and honor. Rashi, however, accepts the grammatical simple meaning, noting that it refers to a past event, when I saw you. He understands that it's a reference to the Mishkan in Shiloh. Malbim accepts the grammatical plain sense as referring to the past, but rejects the notion that it speaks to a specific place. Did the psalmist envision God in Shiloh? Rather, it refers to a prophetic vision that he had of God and the temple, which he would like to replicate with his thirst to be closer to God again. Verse 4 is another cryptic verse. Your kindness is better than life. What does that mean? Rashbam understands this to be a shortened version of the idea that your kindness, even if the life is truncated, cut down, is greater than a life which is long and godless. Ibn Ezra reads it simply, it is more precious than life for me to see your presence resting among Israel. Verses 4, 5, and 6 all express the desire of the author to praise God with his mouth, his lips. It's not enough for him to have these thoughts and emotions. He must voice them to the world. As opposed to Psalm 51, where he pleaded with God to open my lips so that my mouth can speak your praise. Here, he's confidently expressing his desire to praise and praise and praise. In zuchartichah al yitzuei be'ashmorot ehegevach ki ayita ezratali uvetzel knatecha aranein. When upon my bed I remember you and meditate you in the watches of the night, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. We continue to see confidence in the psalmist's expressions, turning to God in the early morning at a time when the priests start their watch, turning directly to him in gratitude and wholehearted submission and devoted cleaving. The next section reminds us and himself that there are still enemies seeking to destroy him, and he asks God for protection. But we should note which takes precedence, the faith and love or the fear and need. This psalm certainly presents the faith and love perspective while never forgetting the need for God's guidance. V'hema l'sho'a yivakshu nafshi yavo b'tachtiyot ha'aretz. But those who seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. Yigiruhu al yidei cherev menat shualim yiyu. Hamelech yismach b'elohim yitalel kol nishbabo ki yisacher t'pido reshaker. They shall be given over to the sword. They shall be prey for foxes. The king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. The mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. The word used in verse 10 is Shoah, a word which the Jewish people have hijacked to refer solely to the Holocaust. It's mentioned in Tanakh several times, referring to utter destruction. Here it takes on a personal tone. He confidently reserves a place in hell for these enemies. He states they will become fodder for the wolves instead of finding a proper burial place after having been pierced by the sword. The final verse returns to the king, similar to the appearance in Psalm 61, where in third person he speaks of the king rejoicing together with those who swear allegiance to him. The psalmist, running away from danger, nevertheless finds the time to sit in a state of tranquility and create beautiful, powerful poetry, which describes the storm of his soul, but also it is overpowered by the spiritual overflowing of his spirit to connect to God, sit under God's wings, and to wake the dawn with his maker at every opportunity.